everybody. Welcome to the thing we do where we record ourselves talking. I'm Jake. And with me tonight, as usual, Hot 7 Riff, and then special guest, Armac. Yay! So the conversation will invariably get steered towards movies.
Or slow trains that cross the country.
Hey, Armac, you know about movies. Why does everybody hate The Last Airbender, even though it's totally awesome?
Because hating M. Night Shyamalan is, like, you know, practically a national sport at this point.
It's trendy.
You know? And it was based on a book that everyone really liked. So.
Or no, it was like a TV show that everybody really liked.
Cartoon. Yeah.
Something. They liked whatever it was adapted from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it possible that M. Night Shyamalan's next movie will be at the first negative
negatively
score?
Rated? That's where the graph goes.
Is he just in free fall? Like,
well, no, it's just a pretty standard downward curve on Rotten Tomatoes. I
thought it was linear.
It is. That's what I meant.
Okay.
A downward curve, by which I mean a straight line,
right,
with a negative slope.
Sure.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'd like to reiterate how awesome I thought The Last Airbender was.
You enjoyed it, but I didn't think you said it was awesome.
No, it was an awful movie.
But you thought it was a kid's movie, too, though.
Yeah.
You were like, oh, this was written for 5-year-olds, and I'm kind
Not
of enjoying it.
5-year-olds. It was written for, like, 8-year-olds.
Okay.
It was just some awesome, like, you know... I'm not going to get into why it was awesome again.
Well, because there was fireballs.
There were dudes throwing fireballs. I mean, okay, I guess I am going to get into how awesome or why it was awesome. There were dudes dancing around and causing balls of fire to emerge from, like, braziers that were next to them and then fly at other dudes who then conjured walls out of the earth to block the fireballs and then throw rocks
anybody,
back at the dudes.
How did anybody ever... like win if they could just immediately block all of their attacks?
Well, they had to be paying attention. I mean, if two dudes threw fireballs,
eventually somebody fell asleep and they got
eventually somebody snuck behind somebody else and threw a fireball, or a bunch of guys got together and did an especially awesome dance and threw a fireball that was too big for a wall to block.
I see.
So was it a musical?
I mean, I liked it, so no.
Have you never liked even a single musical?
Oh, I like the South Park musical.
South Park.
I like Moulin Rouge.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh.
I only like musicals with that dreamy Ewan McGregor in them. And any musical with Crispin Glover, although reality has yet to actually put that hypothesis to the test, sadly enough.
I would like to see a musical version of Trainspotting.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Do you know about the Drunken History thing?
No.
There's a series on Funny or Die... called Drunken History, where they get somebody really drunk and they tell a historical story of, like, you know, the Burr Jefferson fight, or the you know, the history of Tesla versus Edison or something, while completely shit-faced hammered.
Okay.
And then they get actors to come in and then act out the story while the drunk people, and they did the Tesla Edison thing with John C. Reilly and Crispin Glover.
Oh, wow.
Was Crispin Glover Tesla?
No, unfortunately, they made him Edison.
Oh.
They made him, like, the heavy.
Well, that seems like the exact opposite of the right way to cast that.
Right.
Hey,
right.
I know, let's cast the, like, heavyset dude as Tesla and the weirdo as Edison.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I'm in favor of it because it has Crispin Glover.
Aren't you in favor of anything with the surname Glover?
Yes, including everything in Crispin Glover's house.
Right.
Oh, man, I can't even. I can just feel myself wanting to start laughing. We can't get into it.
Is Crispin Glover named Crispin Glover only when he's in his house?
Refers to himself as Crispin Glover when he's in his house.
Does Danny Glover live in Crispin Glover's house?
Well, no, but there is a pencil sharpener named Danny in Crispin Glover's house, and so from a certain point
sort of
view,
proxy.
Yes, there is a Danny Glover. But not the
I didn't realize that all the objects also had given names.
They don't all.
Oh.
Just that pencil sharpener that's named Danny.
Wow.
It's his favorite.
Old, you know, Danny boy.
This sounds like a expansion for that role-playing game.
Yeah, for that role-playing game. Right. The Fortress of Crispin Glover. Yeah.
Yeah.
good old Blythe Barker. Yeah, someday. Someday we'll actually write that source book.
So I hear that you've basically given up on working on KOL to play Minecraft.
Yeah, that's what I've been, you know. So when I posted to the Twitter that I've been manipulating cubes instead of sleeping, I don't mean that I've actually been playing Minecraft instead of sleeping. I mean that I've been doing that thing like when you first played Tetris, where as you're going to sleep, your brain is just playing, Tetris without you. And it's really frustrating. So those of you who don't know what Minecraft is,
you should give €10 to this guy.
Yeah, €10. When I bought it, it was almost because of the exchange rate, it was $13.38.
And yeah.
I was like,
oh, wow.
Damn it. Mm. I should have just waited. I should have waited for a currency fluctuation.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's been in development for like a year and a couple of months, maybe. And if you go to play the free version, which is just like a Java applet, is it an applet? Is that what they call them now?
I think so.
It was what I would have referred to as an applet back in the day. It's basically you're just in this world made up of cubes, and there's like, you know, dirt cubes with grass on top of them, and then there's rock cubes, and then there's cubes with, you know, metal in them and stuff, and cubes of wood and cubes of leaves. And you can destroy any cube by clicking on it, and then you have a palette of cubes that you can place into the world, so you can just like build shit and then jump around on top of it. But if you buy it, it's a lot more gamey.
There's
survival mode, which has like a day-night cycle, and you can't. You can destroy cubes with just your fists, but it takes a long time. So like you basically like you'll be like, ah, there's a tree, so I need to get some wood. So you'll go and like punch the trunk of the tree for a long time until it breaks into a little pick-upable chunk of wood, and then you. You use that wood to build a workbench, and then you use that workbench to build an axe made out of wood, which I don't think would work. I think if you cut down a tree, made an axe out of it.
Cut down a tree with your fists.
Yeah, you cut down a tree with your fists.
Yeah.
Fashion
an axe.
That's
the manly way to do it.
Yeah, with your bare hands.
With a wood blade.
With a wooden blade. Huh. Yeah, I don't think that would actually work. But in the game it does, and then you can chop down the trees a lot faster.
You could make the blade out of a hardwood and then only cut down softwood trees.
Okay.
Can you make a pickaxe and then harvest some rock?
You can. Yes,
that is the primary... You have to because you can't... I believe you can't mine coal with your fists.
That's true. If you break
just
open...
It's
weird. You also can't mine gold without... All right, so there's all... Like, you can basically get coal, and then you can... The way the crafting works in the game is actually pretty interesting. I've not seen anything like this before. In your inventory,
like an evolution. It's the evolution of the Heraldic Cube.
Yeah. In your inventory, you've got a 2x2 grid, and then a little, like, basically an inventory slot for what that yields. And if you put, like, a stack of wood in one of those slots, you'll get lumber in the right side. And then if you pick up the lumber, then it consumes the wood and gives you the lumber. It's kind of a combination, like, preview crafting thing. But the position, the shape of the stuff in the crafting space matters. So, like, you take two pieces of lumber, and if you put one above the other, it will craft into some sticks. And if you put one next to the other, it'll craft into, like, a wooden pressure plate, which you don't have any idea what the fuck, to start with, at least. And if you put four of them in there, in a little square, it makes a workbench. And then you can place the workbench in the world, and it just exists as another cube in the world. And when you interact with it, it gives you a 3x3 crafting thing, which...
Can you then build a larger workbench?
No. If you make a square out of piles of lumber, you'll build a treasure chest.
Cool.
And that's pretty cool. So then you can have some permanent storage in the world. If you get killed... So, like, basically, there's a day-night cycle, and at night there are monsters. And if the monsters will just rape your ass if you're not prepared. Like, it is almost impossible to survive combat with a single monster with just your fists. So you have to build a sword. And the way that you build a sword is by putting a stick and then two lumber in a line. And then that will craft into a sword.
A wooden sword.
But it's
made
a wooden
out of wood.
Sword. Yeah. It is made out of wood. But it's infinitely better than your fists, right? Like, so with your fists, there are also, like, cows and pigs and sheep and chickens running around. You can kill chickens to get feathers, which are later used to make arrows. You can kill pigs to get meat, which heals you if you eat it. You can kill sheep. The first time you punch a sheep, you get some wool off of it, which that kind of makes me want to be a shepherd, because that's... I didn't know that you just have to punch them. Yeah. I've not figured out how to make anything out of the wool, which is weird. I don't know if you have to, like, process it into cloth. I think maybe you do. I think there's some intermediate step that I'm just not aware of.
Spinning wheel.
Cotton gin.
There isn't one of those, or it's one
wool,
of those.
It's not cotton.
You wool put wool gin. In a wool gin?
You just take. You need to build a spinning wheel.
I don't think that there is a spinning wheel.
Why not?
I don't know. I've
maybe
never
no
seen
one's
one.
Found it yet.
I looked in the wiki.
Yeah, but maybe it exists and nobody's found it.
The shaped crafting thing is interesting, but it makes me feel like I will never discover anything on my own.
I mean, you'll be like, I want to build this thing should exist. I want to build it. How would I do that? And then you'll like try to draw it in really simple pixel form, and then maybe it'll happen.
I guess.
I mean, someday it might be like that, but I feel like it's so underimplemented at this point that
maybe it's way more implemented than anybody else knows because they just haven't.
Ooh, maybe.
There are a lot of really crazy features in this. There is the world populates with some dungeons in it, but I have never found one. What I have found, though, is you dig really deep and you'll emerge into like a cave filled with like lava and underground rivers and fucking monsters that kill your ass. And then those tend to be, it's possible that they are not actually any richer in minerals than the solid rock in general, but like because you can see so much more of it when the cave is eaten out that you get...
You find the veins.
Yeah, you can just see all of the veins. Then you can make like a... You can make a sword or a pickaxe, which then lets you mine rocks. With a wooden pick, you can mine stone. With a stone pick, you can mine coal. With coal, you can fire metal ore to make metal. And then with a metal pick, you can mine gold.
And also, with the coal, which is possibly even more important at the beginning, is you can make torches to keep monsters from spawning right next to you when it's dark.
Oh, do monsters not spawn where there are torches?
Monsters only spawn in the dark, yeah.
Huh.
Do the torches burn forever?
The moment they do, but they won't eventually.
Oh, that sucks, actually.
I'm sad about that.
I mean, if you can make a torch that will burn for... Like, if you can, use a bunch of stone, say, and make a lantern that will burn forever.
Hanukkah torch.
Because right now, I mean, my shit is filled with torches. Like, it
Your
is really,
shit
like...
is filled with torches.
Yes, my shit is filled with torches.
I think you've been eating too many torches.
I have. Okay. It's weird that they stay lit the entire time.
Yeah. I think I found out why you have all this indigestion.
I built, so basically you have to, in the first day of play, you have to figure out how to, like, dig it. You have to either discover a cave or figure out how to dig yourself a little shelter out so that, and you can put doors on it and monsters can't open doors. And again, you make a door.
Because they're vampires.
Yes, they are all vampires. They actually, all the monsters do burst into flame when the sun comes out.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That sounds
cool. How does that work? How do you have zombie vampires?
Well, I mean, I think it's
it's just a crave your brains?
Playable. I guess you could have zombie. I mean the maybe they're just
they want your brain blood.
The brain's full of blood.
The blood brain barrier.
The first day, the first time I played, it was like getting dark and I was like, oh crap, I'm gonna get killed. I have no coal, I can't make torches, what the fuck am I gonna do? My solution was to punch a hole in a nearby cliff just deep enough for me to stand in it in this one square place and then walled myself in with rocks.
Nice.
So I was just sitting there entombed until morning.
Huh.
How did you know it was morning?
Well, I left a hole like above so that I could see when the sun came up.
It seems as though there are maybe musical cues, but I might be wrong about that.
Yeah.
How was time measured?
It seems to just proceed in real time. Like the sun arcs across the sky, and then the stars go across the sky with the moon.
So how long's a day?
Oh. 5 or 6 minutes.
Can you get to the stars or the sun or the moon?
Well, no. I wanted to make a super awesome tower. I wanted to make a tower that was so high that I would be able to talk to the god made out of pixels. But eventually, it just stops letting you build up high. It is just above the level of the clouds. The clouds actually exist in the world, which is pretty cool. What's also cool is if you have a building. At the level of the clouds, it will be cloudy inside because the clouds don't actually respect walls.
Barriers.
It would be cool if you could walk on the clouds.
It would be cool if you could walk on the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. My tower's tall enough that I would die if I fell off of it, I think. And it's like, I've wanted to put little jutting bits out of it with torches on them everywhere. That's another reason I'm going to be sad if they... As long as there is a way to create a permanent light source, then that's not going to make me sad. And also, you know, it's awesome that I get to be a player who gets sad about changes.
Eat some Nerf.
I feel like primarily what they're working on now is multiplayer support for this. So you can run a server and let people connect to it. And I think that that has some awesome potential. I think that as an MMO where anybody could get in, it would suck because it was like, oh, you made this awesome castle. I'm going to spend 10 minutes destroying it and erecting a crude cock and balls in its place.
Yeah.
And then you're going to weep. But, like, I feel like a world where we were playing and a couple other people that we let in, you know, where it's like, hey, check out my castle. Oh, sweet, check out my castle. I wonder whose castle is cooler. Let's ask Hot Stuff. And then we go, and Hot Stuff has the coolest castle of all because he didn't work at all the last 2 days. He just played Minecraft.
Which is why I would point out that I have not even downloaded this game.
How old is this game?
It is like in sort of pre-alpha, right? Like he started it May of 2009, I guess. It's just
wouldn't that be beta?
No, beta's post-alpha. Yeah. Alpha's like what? The fact that he's released it and is selling it means it's not strictly speaking.
Yeah, I think it's officially
alpha
now, and he's getting ready to call it beta. Hmm. I think multiplayer is what he wants to finish before he calls it beta.
Yeah. I've not messed with it multiplayer at all, but I don't know. It's pretty neat. I'm pretty infatuated with it at this point because it's fun to make a big castle out of cubes.
I kind of like the music.
The music is like sparse. Just every once in a while, there will be a few seconds of music, and that's kind of cool.
And the gravity thing sounded pretty cool.
It is weird, yeah. Like most things are not affected by gravity. There are rocks. I didn't realize it was gravel. I thought it was like mud. But I guess that makes sense. Like sand and gravel will fall if you dig out underneath them, but rocks and other things won't, so you can make like floating islands. And when I say you cut down a tree, what you're actually doing is destroying cubes of tree trunk, but the rest of the tree doesn't fall. So you just sort of like chop your way into a tree and then stand underneath the trunk and chop it from the bottom. So that all the pieces of pick-upable wood fall on you.
Huh.
I got to watch Pez play for about 10 minutes today, and he went into an underground cavern and then, went upwards at some point to break through the surface in another spot and hit an underground like lake basically and just flooded his own.
Oh no!
His own like, yeah. I was like, hey, this game was kind of cool.
It's got, I mean, there's some neat emergent stuff. I was trying to dig a moat around my sweet tower, and I don't exactly understand the way the water physics work.
How did you find water?
Yeah, I mean, did you divert a river?
It was pretty close to the shore. But
I think
when
you can also make buckets, too, and then you fill them and then drop cubes of water.
That would take forever, though.
Yeah.
Huh? Does that then become a source of water that is like limitless?
That I don't know.
Or a well? Can you dig a well?
Yeah, I don't know. There's not always water as you go down there. Water in places, but there's not always water.
So what? If you dug a channel for water to flow, it didn't flow?
It does, but it loses. I don't understand what determines the slope at which the water loses height. It's clearly got some physics to make like a waterfall possible, you know, like because if what I would think would be that you've got, you know, the ocean or whatever, and then you dig out a cube that's adjacent to the ocean, and that cube would just fill up with water, and that's true for the first couple, but then after that the water starts to slope down and flow. It's like animated to flow, and you can do that, but you just keep having to make it deeper and deeper to get the water further and further. It doesn't ever, like, even out. I don't exactly understand how the physics of the water work.
Huh.
But yeah, it's, I don't know. So my moat project was a little disappointing. At some point, the trench that I was digging just wouldn't go any further. It just starts, like, going straight down into the ground and not flowing any further, no matter how much I dig it out.
It's weird. I don't get it. I was able to get two of them to meet, like, from two different oceans, but then trying to do it on the other side, it decided that this stream was out of gas.
Weird.
Also, it was a stream of gasoline, so I had to keep it away from my torches.
Ha ha ha.
It's a sweet thing. I'm really excited by the potential that it has. It also, I was reading about this before I came here. There is this element that, like, has an on-off state that you can find chunks of, and because of the way that it interacts with, like, whatever blocks that you make these things out of, you can make logic gates out of it, so you can basically create arbitrary, like, I think the thing is Turing complete, like, I mean, all it has to have is NAND for it to be Turing complete, right? So, okay.
Well, I mean, and the ability to, like, construct logic.
Right. So, yeah, you can make logic gates. It seems like to do anything, like, I've only found a handful of this stuff in all of the playing that I've done, so, you know, it seems pretty rare. I guess if you're just, like, dicking around with a map editor, you can make as much of it as you want. But you can make torches out of it, which are either on or off, and then if you just put it on the ground, it becomes, like, wire that's attached to the ground, and then if a torch is lit at one end of a wire, like, several units of that wire will
be
powered.
Maybe those will be the permanent torches, actually.
Oh, yeah, because that sounds like electrical.
Yeah.
So it's like fire as electricity.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
It is. I don't know that I would actually want to, like, make circuits out of it, but, like, you know, you use that for things like connecting a pressure plate to a door.
Yeah.
You know. Which seems kind of cool. Although I don't exactly understand how you would, like, I don't understand what the point is of a pressure-plated door.
Maybe to tell you if there's a zombie out there?
Well, but then you wouldn't be able to get back in if you left. Like, if the...
Well, maybe the pressure plate could trigger a trap. And it
you can do that, yeah. You can like, attach a pressure plate to, like, some dynamite.
Sure, right.
I keep getting the front door of my tower blown up because this fucking exploding... there's these zombies that also act as bombs when they die. And they'll just destroy a bunch of shit that's around them. I employed some of them to help me dig my moat. But,
The whole game reminds me a lot of, like, playing a first-person dwarf fortress where you're the only dwarf.
Yeah.
In appearance, it vaguely reminded me of 3D Dot Heroes.
Kind of.
Is there a goal?
There is not. And it's weird.
Huh.
You make your own goals. No, there's no one else to interact with. There's no text in the game anywhere. It is just like, you know, my goal was to see how tall I could build a sweet tower. And then the game was like, this is how tall you can build this sweet tower. And I was like, oh, okay.
Congratulations.
It's like the middle hour of Castaway.
I'm trying to, yeah, it is kind of. That's why I like it. And I think the crafting setup is really ingenious. You can apparently also do, like, a bunch of stuff with mine carts. Like, you can lay tracks and then have a mine cart that you can ride in, have a mine cart that is powered that you can activate, and then it just runs, and then a mine cart that carries, like, treasure.
Huh.
So, I mean, I guess that's useful for mining stuff that you...
There's a video he put on the website of him testing a minecart roller coaster that was kind of cool.
I was going to say, I was immediately thinking of Temple of Doom.
Yeah. Yeah, minecarts over the lava, that'd be pretty sweet. Being able to see, like, you know, being able to download worlds that other people have made, I think would be interesting. You know, you can put up signs in the real world. In the real world. You can put up signs and write stuff on them. You can make paintings, but I don't know if you can actually put images on the paintings. It's also interesting, you know, the way you make a painting is by putting a grid of sticks with a piece of cloth in the middle, and that makes a painting. And that's, you know, that was pretty clever. Like, the positional crafting thing is really interesting. But again, it's like, it is interesting, but I feel like it makes it less accessible.
I mean,
you know,
it is as accessible as KOL's crafting.
I think it is significantly less accessible than
KOL's
crafting.
Yeah, I think I agree with Zach. Although, I mean, maybe he's just starting from the knowledge that this is a game that originated on the internet, and there will be a wiki, and people will look stuff up.
I mean, I think the fact that, like, in KOL, if you said stick meat paste with coal would make a torch. If you put them in the wrong order in Minecraft, you won't get the torch. Like, there's a 2x2 grid, and there is only one... Well, there are only two orientations that will make a torch.
But that makes sense, though. I mean, you put the coal above the stick, right?
I sure, yeah.
Everything that I have seen makes sense. So I don't agree with you that it's less accessible, because it's... You know, you want to make a helmet, so you make an upside-down U out of leather or metal or whatever, and you have a helmet. Like,
so they do the top and bottom.
I don't think that I ever would have figured that out. Like, I don't believe that I ever would have figured any of the recipes out.
I think
if I had not looked at the wiki.
I think you would have.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You have a character slot, a character equipment slot that is a helmet that's shaped like that.
Okay.
Right, you got...
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like the workbench. I don't know that I ever would have discovered, and the workbench is crucial to doing everything else.
Sure.
Right?
I don't know how much you can do without tools to begin with.
Very little.
Right, so I think you would have... The limited amount of stuff that you could do, you would have played around with it, you know?
With no tools...
All you can make
one of the very few materials you can get with wood, and a workbench is filling every square with wood.
Fair.
Yeah.
So...
I'm not saying that it's intuitive, and I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm just saying that if you think that something should exist, you have... a way, like, you have a couple of ideas, like, you can come up with methods based on what...
Sure, but I mean that...
Like the shapes.
You know, yeah, exactly. I mean, they do make sense, but I mean, I don't know, had I not seen a screenshot where somebody was using a pick, I would not have necessarily known that the game was complete enough to have a pick. I mean, part of it is we don't know what this is going to be like when it's finished, right?
Sure.
So it's hard to tell. I think that a crafting system... I think the interestingness and the accessibility of a crafting system are kind of on a curve, right? They're on a slope. Because crafting in World of Warcraft is not interesting, right?
Because all you find are recipes.
You find recipes. I mean, it is conceptually interesting. It's interesting, like, from a narrative standpoint. Like, oh, okay, so, you know, when I mix, you know... armor weed with this vial, I get a potion of armor, you know?
Right.
Like, and whatever. But the way that you craft things is by having the items and not knowing how to do it, but having the recipe.
Right.
Right? There is zero experimentation. And a crafting system with experimentation, I think, is just instantly less accessible. Right? I feel like Blizzard probably wanted crafting to be interesting, and they probably wanted it to be experimental.
There's no way.
Yeah,
but I mean,
but there's no people. Just wouldn't people wouldn't put up with it because
you can't have accessible and interesting.
Well, I mean, I think you can, right? I mean, but for this particular thing, I think it's on a. It's not. I mean, World of Warcraft. I think the game itself is interesting and accessible, right? Like overall.
I feel like you could do something that if you were close to something, like, you know, close to recipe, it would give you nudges towards the right.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, I
forget how it was in Warhammer. They tried to make the system more interesting, and I think at least with, like, potion making, you just experimented with stuff, and it was kind of a weird thing. You had, I'm trying to remember how it worked. You needed a vessel, right? And then you needed a primary herb, which determined what the potion did. But then you had two other slots that you could add stuff to, or three other slots you could add stuff to. That then those things could make the mixture less volatile, which what that meant was give you less of a chance at fucking it up and failing to make the thing, which I think while the possibility of failing at crafting is interesting to game designers, it is not fun for players.
You mean like at a cost?
At all. Like, yeah, like losing, like instead of getting a potion, you just lose your shit.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have a high enough, like, alchemy skill. And that, you know, that's not fun for anyone who's playing it, as much as it sounds like a thing. Like, oh, well, then we could have, you know, gloves that make you better at making potions. Because otherwise, what does it mean to be better at making potions?
Yeah, having some sort of quality per item would be interesting. Like, I feel like that would be a neat way to differentiate yourself as a crafter in a game. Would be my healing potions are, you know, doubly effective from standard.
Yeah, or especially something with permanence like armor.
Or maybe
that you can, that somebody looking at you can click your armor and see, damn, that's awesome armor, and it has the smith's name on it.
Well, I mean, stuff in, they try, you know, in World of Warcraft, everything you make has your name on it.
Yeah.
Right?
But there's no difference between the leather boots.
Just the rarity.
So what they did in, like, Lord of the Rings Online was they made it so you can get, like, a crit when you're crafting something. Huh. But what that does is it makes it so anything that is not a crit is worthless.
Right.
And that's the problem, right? I mean, the thing about differentiating it like that is that it makes it so, well, you know, instead of you're either an alchemist or a really good alchemist, it's like you're either a lucky alchemist or you're an alchemist who never sells a goddamn thing.
Unless you can increase your chance of critical success.
Right. Which, I guess you can. EverQuest 2 has this weird crafting minigame that I didn't precisely understand. That there's a lot of, like, quality, there's a quality sort of continuum that everything exists on. With Warhammer, I feel like it was pretty quantified, right? Like, there were a couple of things that you could use that would increase the duration of a potion. There were a couple things you could use to increase the magnitude of a potion. Mm-hmm. I think the game shipped with those systems fairly incomplete. And I don't know what kind of shape it's in now. I'd be kind of curious to see Warhammer now, because they've had a couple years to work on stuff. And I'm really curious as to what they focused on. I feel like you kind of screw yourself when you launch early as an MMO, because you get to the point where it's like, well, fuck, we got to keep... It's a better idea to keep our existing users and keep them happy than to try and draw in new users, because it's just, you know, we're already getting their money and we want to not lose it, right? Like, that's a much surer bet than trying to attract new.
Are you talking from experience?
Well, I feel that way about KOL, you know. Like, I think that we're better off, you know, it's like I really want to redo the tutorial and make it just quicker and more interesting, but I feel like I'd be better off making a new clan dungeon in terms of, like, you know,
right.
You know, not thinking about it in terms of, like, the bottom line, but in terms of the bottom line. I mean, basically, having people play the game, the thing that makes a commercial MMO have more money is more people playing it, and, you know, us too, right? But from us, it's like not, you know, and I'm not saying that they're approaching it from a purely profit-driven standpoint, but, like, we want people to experience the stuff we're making. So I wonder, like, if the problems with the early zones of Warhammer are still there because they're working on new raid encounters or whatever, because that's what keeps the existing player base happy. You know, it's frustrating that, you know, it seems like Warhammer had the time and they didn't have investors breathing down their necks and they didn't necessarily launch incomplete. It just wasn't all that good. Like, all of the ways in which it tried to differentiate itself from World of Warcraft were ways in which it kind of failed.
They made a lot of bad decisions, is the impression.
Is it a subscription thing?
It is a subscription thing. And so part of it was, like, they designed it really heavily around PvP, and then, you're basically left with, like, the game sucks at low levels if there's nobody there PvPing. You know, you don't want to...
Right.
You end up with this, like, you know, the Hollow Earth problem where the core zones have nobody in them because most of your player base as a mature MMO are at the higher levels. You know, I feel like in KOL, if it were a multiplayer game with the same kind of ascension model, you wouldn't necessarily have that problem, right? And I wonder if it has ever occurred to anybody to try to make, an actual MMO where you're out in the world where replayability is sort of core to the game mechanics. Yeah, I think it's potentially an interesting thing.
Like in a pervasive world.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You ascend.
Like, just imagine World of Warcraft, except you can, you can ascend and you have to play through all the early content again. I mean, the problem there is then, like, well, all right, we're designing content for people with 100 ascensions under their belt, and so then there's only an even smaller fraction of people who ever get to see the stuff.
Mm. Plus, World of Warcraft seems to have pretty strongly decided that the rating is where the real game is, and
trying to get people
through the leveling game as quickly as possible.
But the leveling game in World of Warcraft is better than anything else in any other MMO.
I agree with you. I don't know that Blizzard does.
Hmm. Well, I mean, they might not agree about its importance, I guess, but, like, I don't know. The notion that... I would argue that an expansion focusing entirely on the leveling game would demonstrate that they believe that the leveling game is important at this point, right? I mean,
that's true.
Actually reworking everything with it. Apparently, their tools are much better than they used to be. Like, 3 years ago, the idea of redoing those early zones was a lot more arduous than it is now.
Yeah, I remember people when flying mounts first came out, and people were like, oh man, when are you guys going to fix the old worlds so that we can use our flying mounts there? And Blizzard was basically, yeah, never, that's impossible.
Well, yeah, because the way the old world was there were a lot of skyboxes, and there were, like, some sort of hidden zoning things that you never saw from the ground.
Yeah.
You know.
Did they justify that narratively, or did they just say...
They didn't ever justify it.
It's just like a meta rule.
You know, they justified it narratively in the next expansion, why you couldn't immediately fly everywhere, and it was like, you need to learn to fly in cold weather, or whatever.
Huh.
Which I think is great, because, like, being able to fly really kind of fucked everything up.
Yeah, I think it's really... It is necessary that...
I mean, it was like...
A new set of zones, you need to not be able to fly over it right away. Yeah. You have to be gated through it so that you see it in a progression that's designed by the designers.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool that there were areas that you could only get to if you could fly.
Yeah, but those are areas that are designed to be, like, the last thing you see, basically.
Right.
Oh.
Using the mounts as a gating mechanism is tricky. What was the O?
Oh, I'm reading about... Ozzy was writing a bunch of stuff about Minecraft. He said, a sign is 6 lumber above a stick, a painting is 8 sticks around a cloth. Also, veins of minerals are generated before caves are cut out of the terrain. You can probably see the logic that follows from there. Mining probably gets you bigger veins, but the tools will die faster. Oceans are made of spring blocks. Water loses energy in a diamond shape out from a single block. Place 2 spring blocks within an empty space between, or no, within an empty space between, and the middle will become one. The middle will become one. Water falls down infinitely too, but has a horizontal range of like 8. Lava is supposed to work the same way, but is buggy. Also, diamonds don't appear above the bottom 18 layers of the world. Which, that's interesting. I've never seen a diamond. I feel like I eventually got to something that couldn't be dug through.
Yeah, there's the bottommost level is made out of a mineral called edminium, which apparently the admin of a server can place those blocks. Yeah.
They were weird. It wasn't like just a flat layer of it at the bottom. It started like I just dug down and there was like stuff that I couldn't dig through, but then I just dug around it and it was fine. It was like it was like that iPhone game.
What were you digging with?
A pick. Maybe with a better pick I would have been able to dig through that stuff.
Or a diamond pick.
Yeah, maybe a diamond pick. Or maybe it was diamonds. I don't know what diamonds look like. I'm assuming they look cool, though. This just looked like
look
a different...
like forever.
It's like a different kind of dirt.
They look like a girl's best friend.
Like baseballs?
Baseballs are a girl's best friend?
No, diamonds.
Oh, like a baseball diamond?
Diamond? Yeah.
I see.
NatNet wrote, Jake, your talk about the self-feeding embarrassment for Monday show is exactly how I am. You explained it perfectly. The library books, voicemails, everything. All of my good friends know to never leave me a voicemail. Well, if they want to hear from me again, that is. We should make a super special club, and then one of us misses a meeting, we'll never be back.
self-feeding?
Yeah, I was talking about the like sort of habit where you, if you don't, like if you haven't talked to somebody in a long time, you're less likely to call them because you're embarrassed about not having talked to them for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And it just gets worse and worse.
I
and
am
how
so bad
the more
that.
Voicemails I have, the less likely I am to ever check them. I have 9 voicemails now, by the way.
And what's okay? That's weird. I don't have either of those problems.
Yeah, not everybody does. But apparently me and my buddy Natnit. And I'm guessing Casey Wiederman does too, because Casey Wiederman is like me, evidently, in almost every regard.
Did he start a wildly popular online role playing?
Do you think it's because
wildly
does he look like
wildly popular? Hey, I'm all about spin. That's my job.
Soren Trigg wrote into the Twitter, make sure to check out Minecraft's dev blog. He updates the game a lot. Glad you're liking the game. It really makes me happy. Or it makes me really happy. Probably both. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I don't know how, you know, I feel like this is a love affair that is burning at both ends right now and will probably not last the night, but...
Yeah, it seems
you say that, it's been several days.
It's been 2 days. I bought it yesterday, and I played it for about an hour or an hour and a half, and then I played it for a couple of hours today. Like...
You bought it 2 days ago, and you've played it for 3 days.
You're making
Have
sure.
you sent him any feedback? Or?
I haven't. I don't feel like I know enough about it to really have... I don't... You know, I feel like I can have a conversation about it with you guys, but I don't feel like I could have a conversation about it with him.
Well, maybe you should...
also, because he doesn't speak English.
Send him tweet. Send him a tweet. No, what is it called? PM him. Or DM him.
He'd have to be following me.
The link to this show.
No.
So you can hear people talk about it.
No.
I don't think he would care.
It would be like a fly on the wall with, like, regular players.
Well, except a fly that was invited in.
Sure.
With honey?
Okay, you can send him a bit.ly link to some porn.
It's just some vinegar.
Yep.
Yeah. Ooh, vinegar porn.
It's popular, I hear.
Really fancy vinegar. Is it wildly popular, like our MMO?
No.
I
mean, had you heard of it before? No. But everybody's heard about our game.
What were we talking about before getting back into Minecraft?
Wow, that was like a million hours ago.
No, we stopped talking about Minecraft and then started again. You been playing anything else, Riff?
I played the new Scott Pilgrim game for like an hour.
Oh, really? Is that out?
Yeah.
Is the movie out?
Movie's out tomorrow.
Midnight.
Yeah.
Midnight tonight.
Oh,
huh. Yeah.
Cool.
The game is out on PlayStation Network.
PlayStation Network.
And,
I think that
it's
I
out
have
on
some
Xbox in a couple of
credits
weeks,
on PlayStation. My Xbox is broken, but I think I've bought something from the PlayStation Network before, so I feel like it's probably only an hour's worth of percentage bars moving across the screen and only 3 additional password resets, and I could totally buy something from the PlayStation Network.
Sweet.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
There's something else on there, I think, that I've been meaning to play. God, I gotta fix my fucking Xbox. That's obnoxious. I've had it for a long time and nothing ever went wrong with it. It's probably because I said
that
just now.
Did you ever use
it? No, there's just like a dot. There's one segment of the ring is lit and red.
Does it have a light to tell you when it's off?
Yes. No, I think it doesn't have a light to tell you when it's off. It has a light to tell me when I'm pissed off. Yeah, so I spent another fucking half an hour trying to play Super Mario Galaxy 2 and then finally managed to. I got the goddamn remotes resynced to the goddamn thing and charged, apparently. And then one of them, if one of my Wiimotes is logged into the thing as position 1, it never gets past the health and safety screen.
Huh.
But if I use the other one, it doesn't lock up there.
Wait, what's the health and safety?
It's when you first turn on the Wii. It's like for self and hafety for self hatred guidelines. Go to nintendo.com/Wii health and safety or whatever, and then it says press A to continue. Except when this one controller is plugged in, except it's not plugged in. It just the press A to continue never comes up. And so I looked online. I'm like, what the fuck? Locking up at health and safety screen. It's like, yeah, try a different Wiimote.
So it's a defective Wiimote.
I don't know. I mean, it used to work, so it's not like defective in the way that it never worked. So you know, I have no fucking idea.
You have a love hate relationship with most technology.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
I sure
did. Did you ever read that book about life before technology or whatever it was?
Oh, that one that I bought?
Yeah.
That Orson Scott Card liked so much?
Yeah.
It's dyke literature.
Yeah, Orson Scott Card is a dyke. No, I haven't read it yet.
Okay.
But I feel like I would probably enjoy it, and I would think, those were the days you when you probably died of pneumonia at age 30.
You should read it and review it.
Yeah.
Book club. You could do a book club. Like,
ooh, we should do a book club.
That's true.
I hear there are ladies at a book club.
Unless it's a book club full of dudes.
Oh. Like the rainbow book lover club.
Yeah.
Book
Glover Club.
Have you been playing any video games?
Me?
Yeah.
No, not really. I mean, I downloaded Civ Rev for my phone and I started it and then got like a couple pages into the documentation. I was like, this is too complicated.
Wait, you read the documentation before playing?
I always read the documentation before playing, and it was so long, I was like, yeah, I don't have time to do this, so I put it away.
Why don't you just jump in and see what happens?
That's not how I roll.
I mean, if the documentation is that boring...
Yeah. Well. I used to read the documentation before I played everything, but every time I did that, I would read the documentation and start playing, and then it would start out with a tutorial that told me everything I had just read. So I've kind of stopped doing that.
You know, games didn't used to have tutorials.
Games used to have manuals.
Yeah, I used to always read the manuals for video games, but it was because you couldn't buy video games less than an hour's drive from where my console was. And so...
It was your reading material on your way back to your console?
Yeah. Huh. Like when I was in the back seat of the car, like, you know, I'd read it several times because I was really excited about it and I couldn't wait to get home and play it. And then I would always be like, all right, you can play it as soon as I'm done watching the news. And I'd be like, fuck! Because we only had one television.
Wow. Man, you guys were...
I know.
Living in the stone
ages.
Didn't grow up
rich like you. Didn't get to go to fancy public school. I mean, fancy private school. Where, see, I was so poorly educated that I don't even know the difference between public and private school, hot stuff.
Or public and private parts.
Yes.
What's a public part?
The part that's book does that not is cover. Not Howard Stern's autobiography is public parts. I've been playing some... Oh, wait. Soren Trigg says Notch gets really excited about popular people liking Minecraft. Talk to him. Okay.
You're wildly popular.
I am wildly popular. I mean, if he has an email address published, then I will email him and point him to this podcast. Hi, Notch.
I'm sure you know who I am.
Yeah, you probably remember me. I've been playing... I picked up Dragon Quest IX, even though I...
Oh, yeah?
I should have known.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Wow.
It's, you know...
I liked it. I thought it was a good game, but I never in a million years would have recommended it to you.
Yeah, you know, you said it was kind of grindy.
Yeah.
You said you liked it, though. You were playing
I am enjoying it so far. I feel like I might get sick of it, but there seems to be, and this might just be because it's the beginning of the game, there is enough of a trickle of new stuff being added that I don't mind the grind. You know, I mean, I got to the first, like, boss fight that I just got raped, and I'm like, all right, well, I just need to run around and level up a little bit.
You could get some metal pants.
It is, that's true. It is refreshing the extent to which it does not really lead you by the nose through it.
Yeah.
There's, like, a lot of little quests that you can finish. That you don't even know where they are because there's no exclamation point telling you where to go. But yeah, I don't know. I'm liking it a little bit so far. You know, one thing though, it looks like shit. I just wish that it were 2D.
God, yeah, that is.
Like the DS has such shitty 3D that you do not gain anything via a transition to 3D. Like, even the Phantom Hourglass. Phantom Hourglass was fun, but it looks like shit. 3D on the DS looks like shit.
That made me so mad because they kept releasing all the old Final Fantasy games for DS, and I was like, sweet, I can play, like, the original Final Fantasy 2 and 3, and I fucking get it, and it's these fucking 3D models instead of the awesome sprite graphics, and they just look abhorrent.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I want to post a screenshot of your character from fucking Dragon Quest IX and then next to it post the guy from goddamn Dragon Warrior 1 and defy anyone to tell me that this bullshit looks better than an 8-bit game.
Yeah.
Like, it's... I don't know. It's obnoxious. I genuinely do not feel, so far, that the game has gained anything from being rendered in 3D.
What about being rendered in fat?
That would probably make it more delicious.
Mm-hmm. You know, the 3D thing is like burning out of movies, too. It's like, there's now this huge drop-off.
See, I told you you'd bring the conversation around a movie. I mean, that seems like clearly a gimmick, right? Like,
right.
Video games are going to continue to be in 3D.
One of the things... You say, like, a gimmick, but, like, there's a tremendous amount of drive to, like, get 3D displays in the home and stuff like that.
Yeah,
there's drive on the part of the people that make those displays.
I mean, it's interesting, you know, but I feel like...
Sure.
I mean, you gotta... You read all the blogs about the Hollywood sort of insider stuff. The tone is, like, astoundingly... They're shocked that moviegoers are not just going to every 3D movie just because it's in 3D. Like, they're like... Consumers seem to be really interested in like, the storyline and the quality of the film, and 3D movies aren't that are shitty are not doing well, and it has everyone sort of a little panicky, and they're thinking, oh no, the blush is off the vine. Or
I mean, I feel like the people
there was no blush though.
Roger Ebert
there was
is like
kind of
roundly against
Avatar
3D.
Avatar was
the most popular movie of all time,
but it had nothing to do with it being 3D.
I think it did.
No,
I think it did.
Didn't.
There was a need to see factor that was really. But now, a year of being saturated with these films.
I don't think it had anything to do with it being 3D. It was an event. Like, everyone had to see it because it was the thing to see. It had nothing to do with it being 3D. I think if it had been 2D, it would have been the same thing.
Really? I didn't see it in 3D.
Yeah. A lot of people I know didn't see it in 3D.
I will always elect to not see a 3D version of a movie if it exists, because it is just terrible.
And it wasn't... Yeah, the 3D was not all that great.
Awful.
The 3D was not... Like, it did not enhance the... experience of the film in particular.
Mm-hmm. It depends on the film. It depends on how well they use the 3D. Like,
I mean,
Toy Story 3 used it really subtly and to really good effect, I thought.
Coraline was pretty decent, but the best thing in the entire movie was at the very end, like after the credits. Like,
Did you ever see Alice in Wonderland?
What were they doing? It was like some sort of weird contraption that was like showing sort of how the thing was modeled and stuff like that.
Oh, during the credits?
The very end of the credits.
Oh, yeah, right. I know what you're talking about.
It was
cool. Actually a short film. Yes, because I got the DVD. It's just a short film.
I see.
Where it's a woman who actually makes these models, and it showed the construction of it in fast motion.
Okay.
Basically, and then but it played backwards. I think they started in a close up of the thing, they pulled back from the doll, and then they showed all the cabling, and then everything started like moving. And
yeah, it was really really neat, and that was like the most interesting part of the 3D for that movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just wished. I remember watching the movie and wishing it wasn't in 3D. You know, because it was just like it. Everything that is not in the plane of the screen is like transparent. Like I don't know, man. It just does nothing for me. I don't get it.
You haven't seen anything like any 3D movie that you went, oh, okay, that was really cool, or they did as well, or
Captain EO.
Captain EO.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like because I'd never seen it. And this technology is still bullshit. Like, it has not improved an iota since fucking Captain EO.
Huh.
What about the 3D DS?
I have not actually seen that in action. Like, I feel like it's the kind of thing you can't know until you see it, right?
But people, but everyone who's seen it seems to think it's cool.
Yeah.
Right.
The reviews of people that have actually seen it are really encouraging.
I don't have any idea how it works.
It just sends a different picture to each eye.
How?
I think it has a phased display that is sending a picture.
Oh.
It only works direct, like dead on and from a certain distance.
Huh.
I was going to say, you'd have to lock your head.
Well, that's going to suck, because I cannot play a DS for more than about 10 minutes without changing positions or my arms fall asleep.
Are they selling helmets that like suspend the thing in front of you?
Oh, that would be sweet.
Right?
Man, I would love that. I would love it if the DS had a detached controller and just float in front of my face.
I mean, even without the 3D on that, though, I think it'll be... Because apparently it's, like, computationally, it's nearly or as powerful as a Wii.
Oh my god.
Well, yeah, but compared to the DS, that's saying something, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. It kind of makes me sad to see the DS phased out, because the DS primarily had 2D games, and I like that, right? Like, I guess there's always going to be a place for 2D games. There's always going to be a place for lower fi games, because, like, the indie space will have it.
Yeah, and the DSi is going to have their downloadable games store. And
I don't ever want them to stop making Castlevania games.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And I don't think there's any reason for them to ever stop making Castlevania games. I think they can continue to innovate in subtle ways.
I think once developers have played with the 3DS for a while, eventually you will start seeing games being published for it that don't take advantage of the 3D. The same way when the DS came out, every game had
some sort of microphone.
Shitty
microphone bullshit.
Shoehorned in microphone bullshit and touchscreen bullshit. But now that it's been out for a couple of years, there are games that just don't bother with any of that at all. And I think it'll be the same thing, especially considering that the 3D has like a slider control on the side of the DS that lets you turn the 3D off, which means that no game, that there can't be any games for it
that require
where the
it.
3D is absolutely required to play it.
Hmm. What did I see? I saw a thing. I read an article where they were talking about a 3DS game where you put this little coaster on a table, and then it became an augmented reality thing. Like, you would wander around the table and look at it, and it would use the camera, and there would just be on the screen of your DS a dragon on the table shooting fireballs that you had to, like, move out of the way physically and point the DS at it and shoot it with, like, a laser gun that you were holding in your hands. And that seemed like it could be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That seems like that Kinect thing that Microsoft is working on.
I am, you know,
probably
they might...
I'm very skeptical.
They might surprise me, but I'm pretty convinced that, like, 3D in the home with glass... Like, any 3D that requires you to wear glasses, I think, is a sort of evolutionary dead end.
Cool display where you take the Wii's sensor bar and mount it on your glasses, and then point the thing at you so that the screen is in three dimensions relative to where you're standing.
Yeah.
That's kind of neat, actually. And I feel like that would be cool.
Maybe. I mean, like, can you think of a million, you know, can you think of a dozen fun things that you do through a window?
There's a Japanese DS game for the DSi,
every,
I think.
Every, like, that driving or that flying principle. Thing is you're saying
the like ladies locker room DS like
but I mean, but every craft that you are in when you are piloting something is through a window, right? Like,
yeah, but you don't move. I mean, how much do you move around inside your car?
I mean you move your head to see things.
Mix-a-Lot's got one good use of a window is put them on the glass.
I didn't know that was a Sir Mix-a-Lot song. Put them on the glass.
Put them on the glass.
That's it, you know, maybe you're like voyeur, otaku voyeur. That's the game, and you're looking around out your window, and then, like, you know, as you level up by beating off, you get to where you can afford nicer and nicer apartments, with, you know, closer and closer to, like, lesbian high school.
And you can buy windshield wipers for the inside of the car.
No, you're not in a car. Jesus. How often do you drive by a place where there's a naked girl?
Well, if they're putting them on the glass.
Okay. At the window store. Man, how do you window shop at a window store? You always...
How do you not window shop at a window store? Okay. Might be the better question.
Fair enough. All right, let's take a little break and start talking about one particular video game instead of every video game. Hey, that was a pretty good break. What'd you guys do? Was it fun?
I continued to sit here doodling on the back of this credit card offer envelope.
Credit card offer envelope?
I assume that's what it is because it's from American Express. I haven't actually opened it.
Because you don't like to open your mail?
No.
It just piles up. You're too embarrassed to open it.
Yeah, basically.
Since I'm sitting at the pretentious artist's computer, I was drawn to his collection of laser tit photographs.
I just don't... I don't understand sometimes why he likes the things that he likes.
It is a little strange.
You know, like, pictures of naked ladies. Okay.
Right.
Pictures of naked ladies from the 70s with lasers coming out of their tits. And no actual nudity.
No, there's definitely some nudity.
Is there?
Yeah. Oh, there's got to be nipples.
Well, the nipples are usually covered by
lasers. They're obscured by lasers.
Yeah,
just the nipples.
Are there twats?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I was going to say, how do you know that's 70s?
Are there ever laser twats?
It's, the pictures
from the twats
are very dated in general.
Yeah, they look like, you know, that kind of photo stock from the 70s.
Kodachrome.
Right.
Is it Kodachrome?
Actual film instead of digital.
Casey Wiederman says, it's true, Jick. Voicemail is no good. You know what's worse, though? Email. I leave important messages in my inbox to remind me to respond, and they just sit there guilting at me. I have stopped doing that, and it makes me a lot happier. There are, like... Well, actually, today there are, like, 15 messages in my inbox, but most of it's just because I haven't... Like, if I leave an email in my inbox because I need to do something because of it, and I don't do it in, like, a week, I'll just get rid of it. Because, like, if it's the kind of thing that there's no consequences to not doing it in a week, there's probably no consequences to not doing it.
So why don't you just make that decision when you read it?
Well, so often they'll be like, oh, there's something that I need to do in response to this email tomorrow, right? Like, it's...
Yeah, I get emails that I just don't want to deal with. Like, I need to deal with them, but I really don't want to.
But they'll sit there forever.
I eventually deal with them. It's just...
Right.
It's like...
You don't delete them after staring at them for a week.
I don't delete them. I archive them so that I can get the stuff if I need it. I can get the information if I need it. But too many things, like, if there's 20 emails in my inbox, it is a lot easier to add one more email to my inbox.
Having it empty every day?
Yep.
Yeah, I need to get there.
I mean, and it's not empty. There's usually two or three, and they're usually things that, like, need to be done. You know, it's like, if I have flight details for a trip that's in 3 days, I'll leave it there because it's easier to find. And
The oldest email in my inbox is from your mom.
Sweet.
Yeah.
What's it about?
Investing.
Is it clinic results?
No.
Ah. Yeah, same with my K-mail. I had hundreds and hundreds of K-mails, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do anything about any of these. And now, every once in a while, I'll just go through and, like...
Wasn't your solution to that problem making everybody's K-mails expire?
No, because mine don't.
I was going to say...
Mine also do not.
Yeah.
I was going to say the bug report system. Doesn't that go through number one?
Well, it used to. It used to be the bug report would just send a K-mail to me, and K-mails to me went into a box that Zly did a first pass through and then sent stuff to me. You know, which is fine. A lot of the K-mails that I get are just like, hey, I love your game, and I also... physicist. I'm like, okay, cool. And then I'll, you know, like, save it. Like,
yeah. Physicists are cool.
Yeah.
So that's Joe, then.
Yeah, it was Joe. So I think in the Monday show we'd gotten partly through this big block of questions from Avangie on Q.
Did we want to look at the Twitter?
I don't know that there was a lot of KOL-specific stuff on the Twitter.
I guess not. Yeah, I'm going to say mine.
None. Josh Grimmer says, monthly Whole Foods Beer Girl fuck update, please. Hot Stuff still has not fucked the hot beer girl from Whole Foods.
That is true.
There was a hot girl at the gym today that he also didn't fuck.
That is also true.
Doing some kind of dance exercise, like jazzercise, with another hot girl.
Yeah. There's just two of them in there. I thought it would have been a class, because there's like one girl up front and then one girl behind, but it was just the two of them, so I don't think it was a class. But maybe it was just a really poorly attended class. Maybe you had to be, like, there was a sign outside that said you have to be this hot to take this class.
And maybe it was a lesbian mating dance.
And it was a standee from Major League of the naked girl, the team owner.
I don't
naked
remember.
Where they would the more games they won, the more articles of clothing that were velcroed to it or whatever that they would take off of it.
I don't know.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that at all.
Major League is an awesome movie.
I should go back and watch that.
You should.
Is that the No Crying in Baseball
thing? No, that's A League of Their Own.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, right. You're talking about the one with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. The Rocket.
Yeah. Wild Thing. Huh. And Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah, I haven't been back to that Whole Foods in a while.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, I got an innocent question for you. Which Whole Foods is it?
it's the one down on...
Yeah, the one in Chandler.
Chandler, yeah.
Okay. Oh, I see.
There's a number of beer girls that someone would think was hot.
Are there multiple beer girls?
There have been multiple girls that we've used to get our beer. I mean, like... I feel like there are a number of girls that work there that we have dealt with when getting beer.
That is true. There was just this one particular one that...
Yeah.
Have y'all ever gone to T.C. Eggington's?
What?
What's T.C. Eggington's?
It's like this,
breakfast place.
Kind of breakfast brunch. The menu's modeled after Denny's, but it's much higher rent, I guess. And
yet their name is T.C. Eggington's.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
And it's pretty good, actually. It's pretty good and pretty popular, and... all the people who work there are girls in their 20s. And the uniform that they make them wear is a bright pink polo shirt tucked into khaki shorts. So the shorts are, like, you know, waist high, and everyone looks ridiculous. Like, it's... And the effect is, like, it goes full circle from... Oh my! It's like, is that an old man with tits? No, oh my god, that's our waitress. And then you get close and realize she's really cute, and then... But you're like, these clothes are ridiculous, like, they're so horrible that you start trying to figure out what she would look like if she was wearing cool clothes, and then...
That's not what I would have gone.
First, I'd have to be able to imagine what cool clothes look like, and if you've ever met me, you'll know that I have no fucking idea what cool clothes look like.
Well, you know, clothes that look good on a girl, is what I'm saying. Mm. Like basic hottie clothes.
So, like, clothes on the floor next to my bed.
Right, and exactly, that's where your brain goes, eventually. So, you can't help but trying to picture these people naked, because it would just be so much better than what they're actually wearing.
I mean,
it's almost like
ever?
Bad dress gone full circle into hotness.
Huh.
You know? It's weird. It's like, it's counter hot.
Anyway, so that was the KOL-related question from the Twitter. Cool. Answered now. Oh man, do you think when we were doing our super sexy tandem exercise yesterday that the ladies in the...
is that what you call it?
Ladies in the... No, I felt horrible even suggesting this, and I'm never doing this again, but I heard about...
it wasn't that...
But you needed the money.
It seemed super gay.
It was not that big a deal.
It's probably not that big of a deal. And also, at the Rock Gym, every dude there is some jack-off with no shirt. What?
Not everyone. Just a couple of
them. Am I supposed to pot myself down or
a little
something?
Bit. Yeah, that's...
Okay, alright. I know we're not supposed to talk about that, but I can never understand your gestures.
Pointing
you're
at
pointing
somebody,
at me,
and then and up then or down. I don't know how... I don't know how more complicated...
Like, I'm like... Yeah, okay. Yeah. You're right. It would have been gayer if I had touched your dong. I thought you were just gesturing to me. No, so it was this exercise.
I could have just said that, though. If I am motioning, it's because I'm trying to talk
so
about
you
the,
would say
the metaphysics
about
of the
dong.
Radio show.
You wouldn't talk about man in the cans.
The metaphysics.
Right. I was talking to somebody about different exercises that you could do with a medicine ball, and he told me about one where you sit back-to-back on the floor and just pass the medicine ball in a circle around you, which works out some shit that never, ever gets used for anything.
Great. No, but they get used to,
like
balance.
For balance, yeah. Some of your core. Anyway, it was hard. It wasn't hard. The medicine ball was really light, but I could see how if it was heavy, it would have gotten really hard in a hurry. But I'm never going to do a tandem exercise with hot stuff. It's just too precious.
Did he make you take your shirt off?
No, he didn't. But eventually he would.
You didn't get that sweaty back-to-back thing where you lean forward and goes...
Sweaty back-to-back, sweaty belly-to-belly at the sweaty zombie jamboree. Anyway, Evangie and Q wrote, I look forward to the next arrival of the traveling trader, that is, once Twinkleywads dip below 300 in the mall. Do people think that we pay attention to the price in the mall of Twinkleywads and bring the traveling trader back when they reach a certain point?
The comings and goings of the traveling trader are mysterious.
They are.
It's the new pickle factory.
Mysterious.
Can you change the smiley face icon for heavy petting from the Knobgoblin pet buffing spray to something slightly more appropriate? I don't know what it would be. I mean, having a heavy pet makes me happy. No, I like it when my cat puts on weight, because she has a problem with being underweight, and so when she's heavy, I'm happy.
Uh-huh.
I like heavy petting.
Will the Ironic and Mole drops off the freescaling encounters with the hipster become an outfit? No! No, they will not. And why does the Moleskin notebook lack an enchantment? I forgot to put one on it. But eventually got fixed. A plus one moxie.
What are your thoughts on sort of retweaking the hipster, you know, behind the, you know, the super likely behavior and all that, all the mechanical stuff?
I mean, I think it's a mess because of delay, and, you know, we just need to get rid of
it. Among other things, I think we should fix the hipster independently of also getting rid of delay.
Do you think it needs fixing independent of that?
Because there's going to be all sorts of other situations that it's going to break. Would you just fix it?
But I don't think it's breaking anything. I don't think it's breaking anything. It's just weirdly optimal at certain times.
Sure. Yeah. So that, I mean, I feel like that's, it is so metagamey that it's just not, it's not worth keeping it in the game. Like, it was unintended, and let's change
it. People love it for getting beer lenses.
But I think delay... Wait, they love it for getting beer lenses.
Yeah, because the tavern, like all those non-combats that give you drunkenness, they can get overridden with the combat. That'll give you something you need, you know?
Okay. And because they're looking for a super likely, it gives them a bunch of extra rolls on the super likely. I mean, that would be fixed if the hipster fired before super likelies, but then the hipster is infinite stats. Right? So, I mean, Jiffy Malmulty had written, please cap the number of free fights the hipster can give. I thought that we had.
It's 50, I thought.
I thought it was cap. You think it should be 10?
Yes.
No.
10.
I don't think it should be 10.
10.
I think to a normal player, it should give them, you should be getting them throughout the day with a normal day's
and
allotment of turns.
With 10, you would, up until about 200-ish turns.
Really?
And then it would stop. Yeah.
Oh.
Is there a way to do a mechanic where it actually looks at the number of turns you have and adjusts the firing rate? So that if you have 200
turns...
That would be
gameable.
It would be really gameable, yeah. So it's...
But, I mean, that could be fun,
no.
Potentially.
No.
Well, because you'd have to choose when to eat, so you'd have to use your turns really efficiently.
You're suffering the same problem that we have historically suffered, which is, we could do it in this really complicated way, because that would be really fun, but it isn't. It's just massively, like, micromanagey.
Yeah. Complain about the micromanagement.
I thought there were people who like that kind of thing. I don't know.
There are, but there are way more people that get frustrated by it, you know? And it's if it were the only thing in the game like that, that would be cool. But then there are thousands of things like that.
I mean, it's again the thing with the hipster though is like we have to make this worse for people who are casual in order to not, you know,
people that are casual are not going to have more than 10 fights in a day, for example.
You don't think?
Yeah, no. I mean, they're not going to spend more than 200 turns in a day.
But it's not. You get more than 10 in 200 turns.
You get about 10 in 200 turns.
I don't think that's true. I feel like you get.
It drops to 1 in 20 pretty fast.
After 5.
4.
Okay.
Okay, so it's like 180 turns instead, or whatever. It's fast. It really is, like, on the order of 200 turns. That we could do 12, then, if you don't want, or 11.
But
11
think,
makes more sense, then.
But I think that you get more than that. I think that because of the math, you would get, like, you'd average, like, 15 in 200 turns.
I don't think so. I think it'd be
because you get a bunch of them really early.
You get like 3 or 4 really quick, and then it drops to 1 in 20.
Right. You get 3 or 4 really quick, and then it drops to 1 in 20. So you spend 200 turns with it at 1 in 20, which gives you 10 in addition to the 3 or 4. Which is why I said
that took like 15 turns to get in the first place. So it's like 12. In 200
I bet
turns.
It's closer to 15 than 12.
Okay.
I mean, in casual saying. Though, you're. I mean, you've got the mall, you can do anything you want in casual.
Yeah, but you don't. I mean, like casual players do not play 400 turns in a day.
No, that they play like 250.
So here's the thing.
Or they
is
play
it,
50.
Is it more broken? I mean, so do we piss everybody off if we change it now? Because, like, right now it's optimal if you know, for getting beer lenses, right? If we fix that, we're nerfing a Mr. Store item, right? Because of this
Which
unanticipated
we, can, we
behavior.
Have done historically while it's still in the store.
Okay. Right.
I mean, do we run it before super likelies are picked, and then it's an infinite stats bug with the limits in place? I mean, do we make it so you can get all 10 fights or 15 fights or however many we limit it to by just repeatedly adventuring at the goatlet? Or do we stop using super likelies as zone logic? I mean, I like having that as a tool instead of hard coding it, You know, I feel like it's a lot better to be able to do it.
I don't.
In the game
it's,
logic,
it's frustrating that it is so. This is so complicatedly tied to a bunch of other what would theoretically be unrelated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Game logic, you know.
Yeah.
What we want it to do is occasionally you have a cool fight, right? Like that's what we want, and
mm-hmm.
it does all of these other things that are not part of that desire, you know.
Yeah, I kind of don't like how that trumps the discussion either. Although I guess the people doing the discussion are largely the people who care about that.
Right.
Fifth Element says, would you consider Hot Stuff to be your slave? I pay him, so no.
Yeah, but then I have to buy everything in the company store.
On the radio, would he be your audio slave?
You're not allowed to die.
Would he be your Chris Cornell?
Yes. I meant to tell you that. I've always considered you my Chris Cornell, Hot Stuff. Did you go to Cornell?
I have visited Cornell.
Or did you go to Chris Brown?
Was that your
Chris Brown school of girlfriend beating?
No, I didn't. I did not apply to Cornell as an initial thing, but I filled out an application to transfer there. Actually, I almost transferred to Cornell
because you hated MIT.
No, because girl.
Oh no way.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you thought you'd do some Cornell cornholing?
No.
No.
So that's why I didn't move there, right?
Yeah, basically. Go ahead.
Stupak2 wrote, any thoughts on trading lowered consumable yields for some things the player base has asked for since NS13? Delay, BHH, lower costs, etc. Seems like it could be sweet to me. Also, sorry. Any thoughts on the way the hipster interacts with delay, causing intense and really metagamey strategy? Any plans to look at the hipster for more for balancing? Also, large boxes. Stupak keeps
wanting. He's never going to give up on the boxes.
Large boxes thing. You know, we should probably do something about that. I just don't, you know.
Even larger boxes.
Here's the problem. Anytime I say, we should do something about this, and then I open it up for discussion with the player base, I just get so fucking discouraged by the
conversation
back and forth that it's just like, oh, right, I forgot. Nothing is ever going to make you guys happy.
I mean, the thing is, like, I feel like the Speed Ascender community and sort of the hardcore channel regulars and stuff, they like to be discontent to a certain level. Like, bitching and feeling superior is kind of what they get off on. Like, they want to feel, you know, like, ah, I'm playing this, like, slightly broken game, but I'm totally, like, on top of it and gaming it, and I got all these exploits, ha ha ha, you know. And so, when you offer them a solution, it's like you enter this weird psychology thing where they're, you know, they're telling you not exactly, it's not quite on the level, the feedback you get.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. I'm, you know, and especially about this, like, con-familiar thing, like, I'm beginning to believe that, like, you know, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. And,
I did not read more than, like, the first page or two of that thread, and, like, almost everybody's comments were positive, so, like, it's weird to me that there's apparently a very vocal minority that seems to be upset about that or something.
I mean, they've gotten... It's gotten into my head, is the thing. Like, it's not that I think
earworm.
Yeah.
You should just think about some other problem. And
so,
we'll totally override that one.
Here's the problem, Stupak, with what you're saying. Everyone is upset if we significantly nerf consumable yields.
Well, no, not everyone.
Most people.
Yeah, it is something.
Players.
It is something that affects casual players disproportionately.
Farmers.
I don't know if it affects casual players disproportionately. Like,
no, well, like, how do I put this? Like, they will notice it and be hurt by it way more than the sort of people that are sort of overwhelmed with the number of possible turns they can generate in a day.
Right.
Are overwhelmed by the sheer number of turns that can be generated.
I don't think more... Like, I argued that 30% of the player base would be pissed if we lowered consumable gains significantly, and 30 people would be happy if we got rid of delay.
Sure.
They argued that it's more than 30, but I don't think I agree with that.
I mean, I think the 30 vocal people who understand it and advocate against it are... they have people who listen to them. They have far more people. There's probably 10 people per one of those who are actually paying attention to that guy. Dude.
Anyway, I want to get rid of delay. I have wanted to get rid of delay, but I want to do it in ways that makes the zones better. Right? I want to do it in ways that make the zone better for everybody. And I think, you know, the Friars changes, I think, are going to be fine. Right? Like, I think there will be some initial kvetching, but then everyone will agree that, you know what, this is basically what we've been asking for, and it is better than how it was before.
You're talking so, like post, with the...
No, I changed my mind about that, because that seemed too weird. That was the idea from years and years ago. I've just, like, I mean, basically what I'm going to do is make the non-combat that you get. Like, all right, so the Friar zones are just monsters, and then there is, in each of the zones, a sequence of three non-combats that you get that culminates in you getting the quest item. And
the usual non-combats are there, too?
No.
You're getting rid of those?
Yeah, I was going to get rid of the usual non-combats.
Okay.
And put the non-combat rate at, like, 10%. And then put in super likely copies of each of the non-combats at turns 5, 10, and 15. So, basically, for a new player...
That whole quest takes 45 turns.
For a casual kid, the quest takes 45 turns. Maximum. Right.
And on average, less than that.
Slightly less than that on average, right? I mean, I feel like the odds of you rolling a 10 on a D10 within 5 turns, kind of slim. Right,
kind of 50%.
50%?
What? Wouldn't it be?
I don't think it's
on a 10 on a D10 would be 10%.
Five times.
The chance of
it's kind of 50. It's not exactly
the chance. It is the chance of rolling a 10 on a D10 within a single set of 10 rolls is about 65%.
Okay,
so it's less than half of that, right? So it's 30 some. I mean, it's. It's relatively slim that there will be a significant margin, right? So there is a ceiling to the extent to which that can screw you, even if you are a speed ascender. You can crank the non-combat chance up to like 35%, right? There aren't any non-combats that are like useless in there.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing they talked about how it was potentially like.
The hot wings.
Yeah,
the wings, right.
the way Scully wrote it, there is still one of those non-combats that gives you some hot wings, but it could easily be changed to something else, and I think I might change it to something else, so that you're not guaranteed to get hot wings in that zone. But so it addresses the reason that I like delay, and the reason that I, you know, delay usually is more than just delay. Delay is usually the delay value plus some fixed number of turns before you can get the thing. It's because I don't like you walking into a zone and getting the goal on the first turn. I don't want that to even be possible, right? Because it doesn't make any sense narratively. And even with a 35% non-combat rate, the odds of you getting in there and not fighting a single monster before you get the quest item are pretty slim. I mean, it's like, you know, 33% of 33% of 33%, or 35 of 35 of 35. You can get slightly more than 25% non-combat if you're really going for it now, but I don't think in run that you can. So yeah, I mean, that's how that's going to work, and that gets rid of three instances of delay, and I am pretty happy with that. I feel like it improves things for everybody. I think speed ascenders probably will find something to complain about, but I think that they will give me this one.
And that combines the elbow, heart, and, you know, et cetera, like into the zone for Azalea? What the hell is that called?
Azazel.
Azazel's quest?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with that.
Okay.
It's just the single non-combat with delay that is there now is being replaced by a sequence of three non-combats not governed by delay.
Okay, gotcha.
The super likely versions are just to put a ceiling on it, because people say that they want that. And the thing is, having that ceiling there lets me set the non-combat rate in the zone to 10% without having to worry about casual kids having a huge long tail like half the time, which they would with a 10% non-combat thing. So, you know, I am totally happy with this idea, and it's already written, and I'm going to do it pretty soon. So, if you're sad about it, then bad.
Dev team
notice, I'm, notice speedsters, not asking for permission. I'm just telling you what I'm going to do and then telling you that I'll be asking for forgiveness later. I don't want to lower the cost of Bounty Hunter stuff. Like, I don't think that that's a... I don't think that that's a thing. I like that the way that it is. And I think that the people who were around when it launched, the people who had been around when it launched, are still pissed off. But somebody coming into the game now is not going to... is not going to dislike that. I believe that. I'm sure that they will find some dude to tell me that I'm wrong.
How about, like, more stuff to buy with Lucre? For the people who've already done their 345 or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. You know, there's already those consumables that you can buy. I guess nobody uses them. But, like...
No, they're useful.
Because it's either useless or it's more shit that we're forcing you to get, right? So, I mean, I'm always reluctant to add stuff there because it's like, oh, great. It's fine. You take a year to get everything out of the store. Thanks for making it take a year and a half now, you fuckers.
Well, I mean, okay, but like the Bounty-O's have a item drop thing, which is great in hardcore.
Is it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if anybody ever uses it.
Because you might get a lucre just in the course of doing something, you know? The way you have the three zones set up, you can accidentally, you know, you just, one day you'll be like, oh, shit, I got a bounty in the zone, I'm going to go in anyway. Okay. Perfect, yeah. You know.
I mean, that's cool, then. Mad Surgeon says, thanks for uploading the Choose Your Own Adventure stuff. That sort of absolutely hilarious writing reminds me why I started playing this game. Yay, somebody likes my writing. The old Choose Your Own Adventure stuff reminds you why you hated the game after I hired Riff and Scully. Pretty Queezer says, add in a piece of equipment that prevents teleportitis, like those grabby cables from that lousy jumper movie, as a way to burn off turns, since you don't get the echo antidote eye drops until three levels after you need to use teleportitis. But you don't need to use teleportitis at a particular time. Right? I mean, if it was that big of a deal, you could always pull a soft green echo.
I think it is.
When it is optimal?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of trade-off that I think is interesting. Not Another Bob says, is the sea completed? No, sir. No, it is not. And it fucking never will be.
2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks. I'll work on it in a while. Oh, no, wait, I gotta finish this fucking map before the 15th, because that whole plan just goddamn backfired exactly how I knew it was going to.
And, and if it got caught on the 15th. Next month,
yeah. No, you know, it's... we just can't do anything small. Mine's small, I just can't finish it. We can't do anything small, and if we do anything small, we can't finish it.
That's weird.
Yep. You know, what we're gearing up to, the way that I've been working on shit, is we're gearing up to just, like, massive amounts of content being done leading up to Christmas. Just always. The same thing we always do, because, like... You know, I'm kind of dicking around a little bit at a time on the tavern revamp, and, like, that's just eventually going to get done, and I feel like that and a bunch of other minor projects are going to get done right around November, when we have our super productive day.
Got any global events in the queue?
We don't! I know you believe... Tell me why you think those are so important.
Because in a single-player game, like, I mean, there's a community aspect to gaming that people seek out, and I think one of the cool things about KOL is that you have a single player game with this kind of porous wall where you can occasionally break through and see people on the other side, like PvP would be one of them, the Grey Plague with the inoculation, you know, mechanic you had, and so forth. There's a power to being part of that community. That's why the cons are so effective, you know. And I think the global events are these things that, I mean, where everyone is bickering and, you know, they're in their clans and have got all the personal politics of being in this group, and then suddenly there's this global event that everyone participates in and everyone can be like, I was there when, for instance, like, you know, the comet hit the moon, you know, or I was there when, you know, we fought the zombies in 20 days
later.
Do
you feel like the Rock Monster event had that?
Not as such,
right.
Because it existed in the single player part of the game.
Right.
You know, it's a weird place where.
But I mean, the Crimbomination fight, you would say.
Yeah.
Did.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Crimbo in general brings people together because there's a common thing everyone can talk about. Everyone shares this experience. You know. And I think that's really important for bonding, you know. It just makes the community tighter, and it gives people something to talk about, and that talk excites new people to the community, and then they go, oh great, I can't wait for my turn to have this thing that I can talk about with everyone.
Right.
And in the early days of KOL, sometimes those events were disasters, like, you know, Black, sure, you know, Black Monday or whatever, like all the bug meat incidents and so forth. But that stuff became legend over time. You know, it became lore, and that lore feeds the community and makes people excited for what's going to come and so forth. And I think we've been in a period of, I mean, the astronomy was great, like the whole observatory thing with the constellations. I mean,
right,
you know, like, those events are great, and we just haven't had one for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I guess there hasn't really been anything like that. There hasn't been any collective effort since the ocean, since the pirate revamp rolled out. And that was, like, you know, what, 2 years ago or 3 years ago?
Yeah,
it's been a while. It was post MS-13. I bet we're coming up on 3 years that was.
I'm just a big believer in it. I mean, it's my take in the game. I'm not a speed ascender, so what I like about the game is the sort of, I like, you know, where the content inspires the community, and is, and that there's a feedback thing, and I get to watch kind of everyone going crazy around me, and it's really, really satisfying, you know. And you guys are good at it, and I don't know if you, I mean, I don't think you've ever had a kind of any kind of failed global event, except maybe the Floaty Rock thing, and that was entirely just because of a timetable thing, and that and that didn't really feel like a global event. It felt like, you know, that was kind of a spell revamp. That was sort of testing the waters with the MP adjustment.
Right.
You know, in a way.
That was the mechanical backing, but it was...
Yeah.
It was just a narrative event.
Right, right. It wasn't motivated by that kind of, like, overall picture thing.
Yeah.
I mean...
It was motivated by Jake's desire to have...
me seeing a cool keychain at Legoland.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, shit hitting the moon, that was fucking awesome.
That was motivated by wanting to fuck up the moon cycles, though.
Right. Right. But it made it... But it was just done really well. I mean, you guys implemented that perfectly.
The observatory stuff, the ocean stuff, I mean, all that's kind of interesting world content that people partake in. And
yeah.
The ocean, doing that as like a... the idea there was like, hey, let's do a world event, only not have all that effort just be wasted, you know, for people who sign up a week from now.
Right.
Have it still exist, and there still be stuff that you can discover.
Well, I feel like your really effective world events have a mystery at the core, you know? Something that gets people talking and wondering, like the Great Plague, the Observatory, like, I mean, there was some kind of thing to be discovered, you know? Like, I wish the sea had rolled out as part of some kind of discovery, like, some NPC comes ashore, like a Jacques Cousteau type of person, and like, I think there's life down there.
Like a Discovery Channel?
Like, yeah, exactly. Like Hitler,
like,
and
you find
Shark
a channel,
you know,
between the KOL continent and a different continent,
and then somebody swims it covered in tar.
Why are they covered in tar?
Because that's how you swim the English Channel.
Covered in tar?
Yeah.
Why?
Because that's how they did it. I don't know. First people ever did it, like, they, you know, covered themselves in tar and swam it because it's cold, I guess.
Like before wetsuits
hot
existed.
Hot tar?
Yeah, I'm talking like in the 20s.
Huh. Tar.
Maybe it was like, you know, whale fat or something. It was some black gooey.
I don't think whale fat is black and gooey.
Yeah, covering yourself in tar seems like a good way to ruin your skin.
And your clothes.
Good way to attract feathers, though.
Zoe Harriet says, why can't we cast/make saucy salves outside of combat? It seems odd to only be able to heal during combat. Well, I mean, does it seem odd to only be able to throw ravioli shurikens in combat? I mean, it's... That's just how the spell works, right? Like, we don't... There's a distinction between spells that you can use in combat and spells that you can use out of combat.
Right.
It's like the thing that differentiates it from lasagna bandages. No. It's the thing that differentiates it from Cannelloni cocoon.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Lasagna bandages you can't use in combat?
You can, yeah.
Okay.
You can use
them outside.
Right.
Yeah, it's more mana efficient, but only usable in combat. Right. So that's that.
Makes it really tough if you're bad mooning, you know, trying to heal in combat when you have no defense at all because you have no moxie. It's like...
Damastus says, unless there's some super secret use for it, could the Mega Gem please explode violently after the fight with Dr. Awkward just to get it out of your inventory? There'll be a use for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Feneldar asks if Mr. Skullhead has been cloned recently, and have you and your clones been in Houston? Because he saw about five of him at a Matt and Kim concert last Saturday. Who's Matt and Kim?
Huh.
No idea.
A lot of people saying that the traitor needs to come back. Yeah, the traitor needs to come back.
Yeah.
Gyarg says, have you considered doing a survey of KOL users, perhaps via Google Forms? I'd be interested in knowing the number of radio/forum players, as well as how long they play, favorite class, sex, location, and such. Favorite sex.
Missionary.
My favorite sex is with ladies. Weren't Bette and them doing
They were talking about doing a second run. Yeah.
Did they not do it?
Not to my knowledge.
Huh. Because they did the first one, and it was pretty good. Like,
it was interesting.
Pretty good response, yeah, and it taught us some things about some stuff. We should hire a market research firm to research our markets.
Hmm.
And tell us, this is why you should all be billionaires. But now you're fucked. It's too late. These are all the decisions that you could have made that would let you sustain this indefinitely.
Yeah, I feel like if we were of the mindset of like the Zynga people, we could have made a tremendous amount of money like selling out KOL.
At the expense of our souls.
Yeah, sure. At the expense of our integrity.
We probably could have sold KOL to somebody in its heyday.
Yeah, right. Or we could have just... like, I kind of view advertising as kind of an evil enterprise in general.
Right. It's like, hey, this thing is not good enough to get your attention on its merits, so here's some flashing lights.
Yeah.
Like,
selling stuff to people that they don't really need or want.
We have no nectar, so here's a porch light.
Yeah. And then, like, a lot of advertising is, like, associating your sort of lame product with something that people do like sex.
Or boobs.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Or sex with boobs.
Yeah.
Or lasers.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I would not be entirely averse to advertising KOL.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
I think
like,
it'd be fine so long as it's...
like in the right place.
Yeah,
right.
So that's reasonably targeted.
Yeah, but that's
sure.
Marketing, then. Like, when you have targeted advertising, that's marketing, which is I have a lot less of an objection to.
Huh.
Advertising is like a billboard.
I mean, you're drawing right. A really weird distinction between marketing and advertising.
Yeah, I feel
no,
like
not at all. I mean, these are very like clear distinctions. Marketing is like targeting advertising towards people that actually might want your service.
Yeah, but I mean that's.
But it's still advertising.
I mean, people who work in advertising are always trying to identify the audience and trying to.
Yeah, but like you put an ad on TV and right. It's you're not selling like. TV antennas, right? Like you're right.
But you're paying attention to what demographic is watching the show that you're buying airtime on, right? I mean,
right.
Like
exactly.
I feel like
the demographic is not a narrow enough market for me to consider that actual marketing.
Huh.
Right? Like putting something on like a game review website and having an ad for a video game, I think is
that doesn't count as advertising.
Well, it's way more sort of.
It doesn't count
meaningful.
As sleazy advertising.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
okay.
Like, yeah.
But what if KOL did a 30-second spot during The Big Bang Theory, which is a show about gamer nerds that are science nerds. I mean, like, do you think that's advertising or do you think that's marketing?
It depends. Depends on what you're trying to sell. You know.
I mean, KOL.
I don't think I'd feel good about advertising KOL.
I was kind of considering when we talked about this early on. I was kind of considering like Project Wonderful, right? Like, because that seems like a thing. But then, everything turned to shit. Everything that I ever see with Project Wonderful ads is just like sweet porn comic, you know. And maybe it's just because of where I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going to other sweet porn comic websites, but.
Huh.
Yeah.
What's Project Wonderful?
That's some weird ad thing where you bid on
ads
eyeballs.
Yeah.
If you see an ad that's like 4.05 cents, your ad could be here. That's a Project Wonderful ad. And a lot of webcomics use it. I don't know. Comic-Con says we're a webcomic. We should advertise on webcomics.
What, really?
We are.
Great, another stick figure comic. Why do I even bother learning how to draw?
We're
fuck you, Scott Kurtz.
we're bundled with the webcomics.
Yeah, we're in the webcomic pavilion at Comic-Con. But that's fine. Rather be there than with the video games, because
it's way more our target market.
Capcom's asshole.
It's way more our target market than the video game area.
Right, people who like to read.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. I don't really hate Scott Kurtz. I was just kidding when I said I didn't really hate Scott Kurtz. It takes a lot for me to dislike somebody, and being mean to me and disdainful of my life's work for no fucking reason and totally wrong about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, at least it was self-aggrandizing. That's another thing I really like about people. Let's see. Lots of Phil says, why is Old Scratch immune to multi-round stuns instead of just having them stun for one round? I feel like all of those bosses are immune to stuns, because if they're not immune to stuns, then they are just trivial to defeat, by and large.
They're not crazy hard as it is.
Yeah. Blubberpants says, the last few shows haven't made it onto iTunes. Is this a boycott of Apple? No, I wish I could boycott Apple. I don't wish I could boycott Apple. I like their phone. It makes me have more sex.
He wishes.
I had totally seen that article already.
Me too.
I think it was on Metafilter. It was linked on Metafilter. Like, every once in a while, OkCupid will publish some interesting thing, and it was like attractiveness rating of pictures by brand of camera.
Wow.
And it was like remarkably consistent.
Yeah.
Like, phone cameras make you look like shit. Good SLRs make you look good.
Huh.
There's like a sort of depth of field axis to, like, the same person will be rated more attractive with a narrower depth of field.
Huh.
Hmm.
I think it makes the photos look more fancy.
Yeah, I mean,
and artsy.
Narrowed depth of field gives you a lot of blur, you know,
in the background.
The blur can give you.
It depends on.
Well, what
yeah,
year,
it depends.
What
the, you know.
I don't know. But yeah, iPhone owners have more sex than other smartphone owners.
Female iPhone owners had twice as much sex as female Android owners.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that seems much more about, like, the women than the men.
And the men were almost twice as much.
It's weird.
Yeah. Consistently, women had more sexual partners than
how many female iPhone owners are there compared to the number of female Android owners?
That data was not in the chart.
How many female iPhone owners are there compared to the number of female sex androids?
I was going
to
say. How much sex did iPhone owners have with androids compared to women?
There's an app for that.
That's a chart I want to see.
I don't think I have dated anyone who owns an iPhone.
What about Zach?
I don't know. Has Zach dated anyone that owns an iPhone?
No, I don't think so.
Hmm.
Well,
I consider iPhones like kind of like a bougie male accessory.
Bougie?
Yeah.
Like
stop. Yeah. Don't say
bougie.
Don't do that.
What?
Don't use bougie.
It's already pretentious
word.
Enough to use the word bourgeois.
Well, right, but it's like it's now gone full circle to ironic. You know.
Could you say like
too soon?
Bougie is
too soon.
Bougie is
more like the French Revolution was only like 200 years ago.
It's like mispronouncing boozy.
Well, the bougie tend to be boozy too.
Drinking their PBR.
That's right.
All right. Well, we should be done with this here recording device.
Yeah, we
nigh unto time.
We didn't stay on so much Super KOL track.
We did. We stayed on Super KOL track, and it was a fun ride.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions read.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you kids later.
See y'all.
Have a good weekend. I'll see you guys in a couple weeks.